Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We have return guest and return author, Dr. Joseph McGinley. He is the founder of the McGinley Clinic and also founder of McGinley Orthopedic Innovations. Joe, welcome back.
Adam, nice seeing your face again. It's been a while. It's great to be back on the show and looking forward to our conversation today.
Oh, man, I feel like it's been a solid year, maybe going on 2 years since we last worked together in my off.
Well, it's at least. It depends how we count COVID, right? Those years are sort of a blur. So I think it may have been pre-COVID time is when we last did this. So it's even a few years.
Well, great to have you back on. And I'm excited to talk about this new book and also some of the work that you've been doing as well over at McGinley Orthopedic Innovations and to get some updates. I believe that you're in the middle of a raise and you have a bunch of other things going on with expansion. So great to hear about all of this. But as you may remember, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Joe, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. What mission matters to you?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, bringing that down to one sentence or 1 minute is challenging. But for us, our mission is to innovate medical care. All of us at some point will be patients. And we have a privilege and an opportunity to be able to innovate medical care for patients across the globe. So by doing so, what we do is identify problems, we come up with innovative solutions, and we try to make life better for everyone. So that's our mission. Our mission is to innovate medical care and make things better for people worldwide.
It's awesome. Great having you back on. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, so I don't want to assume that all our new listeners maybe caught some of the previous work that we've done together. So let's just start at the beginning. Like, how did you get started really down this path of entrepreneurship?
Well, you know, it's a stereotypical entrepreneur story, literally a napkin sketch. And it's framed on my wall. It really is. And, you know, that's how it started. It started with a problem, a dinner conversation. And you never know when innovation is going to come about. But for us, our story started at a dinner with myself, Dr. Scott Cozen and Scott Porter, co-founders of our company. We were just discussing a real problem, and that's fractures, broken bones, and how they're repaired. And we went through how things are currently done. We talked about a patient that had an adverse outcome because of the quote-unquote standard of care. And we said, you know what? We can make this better. We can innovate. We can come up with an idea that will make this surgery different and change the standard of care. So we sketched out an idea that night, you know, at the restaurant. And sure enough, that's still the basis of our technology today. So a stereotypical story, but an exciting one. And it's always fun to tell that story.
Well, I want to stick in that mind frame for a moment longer. So I feel like many people have ideas, right? The thing that was sketched in a napkin, I mean, I'm guilty. I have all these notes on my iPhone of like, I probably have hundreds of ideas. Like, how did you take, and I know it wasn't one thing, but how did you go from that idea? Or how did you know, like, okay, like, this isn't just going to be another idea. We're going to actually do this. Like, how did you know?
Well, you know, we didn't know at first. I mean, we knew it was a good idea. At least we thought it was. We're biased. thought it was a good idea. But, you know, for us, ignorance was bliss. It was great to have that excitement. It was great for us to have the know-how and ability to take it forward. So what, you know, but we did it stepwise. We discussed this, you know, in our first book chapter of how you actually take an idea and test it. So you have to test the idea because not every good idea is going to work out. It's never going to make it to the market. Someone may have already thought of it. They may have already tried it and failed along the way. So there's several ways to test that along the way. But that enthusiasm, that excitement, that first idea, you should never really let that go. If you have it, then move forward. At least find out, or, you know, you'll regret it forever if you don't. So if you take that idea and test it and see if it's viable, see if the market can withstand it, see if it's already been done, see if there's a pathway to success. And if the answer is yes to all those, I would encourage you, encourage the audience to move to that next step, to move forward. It's never easy. Nothing's ever easy that is worth doing, but it's definitely rewarding. It's definitely challenging, and you'll learn a lot along the way.
And I think that some that idea graveyard sometimes saves entrepreneurs because some of the notes, when I go back and I look at my notes in my iPhone, and I'm like, yeah, glad I didn't do that one. Glad I didn't do that one. But Mission Matters was one of those ideas, right? So you never, I never know when the right one's going to work, but it's also a thought process of what your path to execution is as well. So meaning at this time, you're already busy, right, with McGinley Clinic, yeah?
Oh, that's correct. I mean, both companies are very busy. With McGinley Orthopedics, we now have, you know, over 135 patents. McGinley Clinic, that's been something we've launched here in the last 2 years. And we're now seeing patients from all over the world. More than 60% of my patients are from out of state, flying into Casper, Wyoming for unique medical care. So we're innovating on both sides of the fence, both on the product development side as well as the clinical application side. And I got to tell you, every day is great coming to work. I mean, it's not easy. Every day is not easy, but every day is definitely great when you have that opportunity to make a difference.
Let's talk about the application side just a little longer. So tell us a little bit more about McGinley Clinic.
Yeah, the McGinley Clinic was founded really, there's a gap in medical care. So on the orthopedic side, typically if you have an orthopedic issue, you'll go from an urgent care or your primary care doc right to an orthopedic surgeon. That's unique to orthopedics. Most other specialties, they have, you know, essentially non-invasive or minimally invasive care in between, like cardiology or gastroenterology. There's all of the other medical specialties between the primary care and surgeon. So we saw a need in this area, essentially a gap in orthopedic care. And what we said is, you know, with all the new technology, with all the new interventions that are developing, we can treat people before they actually need surgery or to put off surgery. So we've essentially, I've trained over the last 10, 15 years on unique medical procedures that either put off or eliminate the need for traditional surgery, and we can treat patients in a minimally invasive way. And, you know, for one example is carpal tunnel syndrome. Previously with carpal tunnel syndrome, you'd have a large scar on your hand from a traditional open surgery. Well, now there's a device made from an innovative company that, you know, it's just a tiny little nick in the skin. The patient's awake. There's no nerve blocks. It's local anesthesia. And you can typically do the procedure in less than 5 minutes now. No stitches. It's really amazing. So that's the gap we're filling with the clinical care. And cell therapy is part of that. There's all these other innovations now that allow us to treat most orthopedic issues in a minimally invasive manner.
What motivates you to keep pushing the envelope on care? Not picking on anybody else, any other system or anything like that. But I feel like in all businesses, whether you're treating patients or, you know, just in other type, another niches, like sometimes complacency or other things, like there was a way to treat carpal tunnel syndrome using your example for a long time before this, but you decide to kind of go the other way, right? So what inspires that?
I've been given a very unique opportunity where I can actually make a difference and make care better for patients. And I love it. I love coming to work and saying, how can we do this better? When I have students with me, you know, I stress to them, I say, you know, that textbook that you're being tested on and memorizing and learning about in medical school, I said, that should be just the base of your knowledge. I said, if you're still using that same exact textbook and that's it, even 5 years from now, I said, you're doing a disservice to your patient. I said, that's your base of knowledge that should be built upon to develop knowledge and new procedures and new techniques and better way to care for your patients moving forward. So I'm always asking why, even with the procedures I'm doing now, I'd say, well, can we do this better? I mean, it's great now, you know, we already innovated it, but can we do it better? So I always ask why. I always ask, can we do it better? Because again, you know, you could be that patient on the other end of the consult room and you wouldn't want your doctor asking the same question, saying, is this really the best? If this was, you know, my mom or family member or anyone else, could we treat them better? Can we make their outcomes better? And that's what drives me. Always being innovative, always thinking about new solutions, always thinking about how we can change things, how we can improve the standard of care.
So speaking of innovations, let's get into this next book. And just for the audience, just so you know, I'm not going to let Dr. McGinley share all the content that he's going to bring to the book and the vision. Why? Because we're going to bring him back on the show for a second part, another interview, once the book is actually live, and then we'll be able to do a deep dive. But I want to tease the content today. Get you excited because this is going to be an awesome book launch. So tell us a little bit about kind of the vision of what you hope the readers are going to get out of your writing.
Yeah, we're excited about this next book coming out. And as you mentioned to the audience, we had a book chapter a few years back. And what we talked about was the product innovation for McGinley Orthopedics, how we innovated a product, how we took a company from a napkin sketch to a commercially viable product. We're going to take that a step further and say, well, we're not limited to just product innovation. In this next chapter, in this next book, what we're going to be talking about is to build a successful company. And you sort of tease this a little bit. It's not just an idea. It's not just a product. That's just a very small component of being a successful company. And so we talk about not only product development, but the other key components, fundraising. How do you fund your company? I mean, you have to think about that. You have to be innovative, or you should be innovative. There's multiple ways to do that. Also, how you sell your product. You can take a traditional sales route, but if you have an innovative product, it's like putting a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't always fit. And so with this next book chapter, what we're doing is taking it to that next step, that next level, and advising and giving our experience on how we didn't just innovate with products. We're trying to innovate across the board. We're trying to be an innovative company in every aspect of our business. And that's really what's leading us to be fairly unique and grow and be successful.
Ah, it's exciting. And I'm going to have you pause there because I'm getting excited and I don't want to, we're not going to spoil it, the whole chapter and all your writing yet. So we're going to pause there on that one. And I want to shift focus a bit and let's get into, McGinley Orthopedic Innovation. So tell us about the concept.
Well, that's the company that started it all here. So with McGinley Orthopedics, we took a problem and developed a solution to something that occurs every day in the operating room. And it sounds mundane, but when you fracture your bone, and they have to put a plate and screw in to fix that bone, the technology that the surgeons are currently using really is not very dissimilar to what was used 30, 40 years ago, as far as how that procedure is done. So what we said is we can do this better. We can innovate for the better. And we implemented sensor technology into the orthopedic power tool. So we built a handheld robotic where you can put it in anyone's hand. And as you drill through the bone, it'll sense where it's at. It'll automatically stop so you don't plunge, just like you do with any drilling process. So it'll stop you from plunging. And then it also instantaneously tells you what screw size you need. So it eliminates a complete manual step in the operating room. That's our flagship product. Since we last chatted, we launched another product and, it sort of circles all back around. We launched a product for wrist fractures. So a new plating system, believe it or not, that helps, a surgeon that may only do one or two a month, it elevates them to a new level where, they'll function at the level of an experienced hand surgeon by leveraging technology. So, started with a case of a long screw and a plate and a wrist fracture. And now we're back around, fixed the solution to long screws, and now we're fixing or developing a solution for the plate itself. And that's the tip of the iceberg. We have a whole bunch of other products coming out. We have our own manufacturing facility that's been chugging along nicely here. But we have, 7, 8, 9 products in the pipeline, all very exciting. And we're looking forward to bringing those to the market in years to come.
So I want to stick with this drill a little longer because where it all started, because for those that have been following anything in healthcare, to get people to change, I don't care if it's drill, manufacture, I don't care. Like, how does somebody do that, Joe?
Well, very carefully and very methodically.
Like, it's not like you're going to Home Depot or you're not like, not to make light, but like 30, 40 years to disrupt, really, like to disrupt anything in the medical field, let alone, a tool is not easy. Like, how do you do that?
Well, we haven't fully solved that problem yet, to be honest with you, Adam. That's part of the book chapter. We're still innovating in that area there. It's harder than product development itself, to be honest with you. And, from our perspective, I think we underestimated the resistance to change. You would think if a product comes out and it sounds better, looks better, functions better, that you would just use it. But we as human beings are creatures of habit. And, if you're doing something the same way, how you've always trained and your mentors trained that way and everyone else, you're very reluctant to change. You're a little suspicious of the technology. You start asking, do I really need it? Is this something that is needed in my operating room? And then there's a learning curve. So when you have technology, just like any of us, when we get a new gadget or anything else, there's that bit of frustration of how do you use it? What's the best way to use it? How do I do it without looking up the instructions every single time? For the IntelliSense drill, it wasn't that complicated. We engineered it to be easier to use, but still it's different. It's providing feedback to surgeons in a way that they're not used to. It's providing data that they never knew really even existed or was available to see on an instantaneous basis. So you have to be able to convince the surgeon that, yes, this is better for your patients. It's better for your outcome. It's better for your operating room. It's better for your hospital. But there is a learning curve. Again, anytime you change anything whatsoever, there's a learning curve. And that's part of the innovation that we are continuing to develop and continuing to push forward with.
I want to geek out a bit here, Joe, on this drill, because let's see if I still remember all the training you gave me on how to use it and some of the things that it's solving. So when you say plunge, it's essentially when the surgeon's drilling. So I'm not even going to geek out. I need you to just explain it.
Sure. Let's not pick on the surgeons for a minute here. We'll this in a way that everyone can relate to. You've driven through drilled through a 2x4 or your drywall. And I would encourage you to test this if you haven't or don't recall. Just take a regular drill and try to drill through a board or drill through some drywall. And try to stop when you think you get to the other side. I would say 99
before you hit the drive, before you hit the beam, right?
That's correct. Well, but what can be on the other side of that drywall are plumbing, wires, everything you don't want to hit.
That's true.
Be on the other side, and you don't know that for sure. But you plunge. You won't be able to stop. You will plunge no matter what. Yeah. And most of the time, there's nothing there, so no harm, no foul. But if there's a pipe, that's gonna be a bad day for you if you plunge through and hit the pipe. So it's the same thing with surgery. There's blood vessels, there's nerves. So nerves are like the wires, blood vessels are like the pipes. And if you're drilling through the bone and you plunge and you hit one of those structures, that could be a really bad day in the operating room. And that could be a very negative outcome for that particular patient. Yes, you're correct on that one so far. So we can keep going and test your knowledge level here and talk about
it. I'm going to leave it at the plunging part, but I like it. I just wanted to see if I recalled the last one. So to me, I know that, you know, not easy to get some, like when you explain it to me like that, and I'm sure when people listen to this, they're like, you know, that makes sense. Like that's something that over the long course of things, you want to see that if you were going into a surgery and you were that, you know, if you knew and had the option, it just makes sense. I want to talk a little bit about the new innovation because I don't know the technology on this one. And when I have you back on the show, maybe I'll be quizzed on this one as well. So the one for wrist fractures, give us some info on that one and how that was developed.
Yeah. So, you know, we partnered with some orthopedic surgeons who had an idea on how to make alignment of a fractured wrist better. So right now, most standard plates that are used when you break your wrist are flat plates. So they go on the front surface of the bone. And then it's up to the surgeon's skill level as far as how precisely and accurately they can realign those fragments. And those fragments go into your joint. So if the alignment's off, that means for the patient, it could be early arthritis, it could be reduced motion, it could be chronic pain. So we said, you know, by using the same thing, we said, can we do this better? And if so, how? And again, we partnered with some surgeons that had an idea on the how. And, you know, what we ended up doing was using a mechanical advantage. So essentially technology to help realign those fragments. So instead of eyeballing it, instead of leveraging the fragments and hoping for the best, what we did was came up with an idea where you can actually put blades into the fragments themselves and then just dial it in with a screw. So with the screw, now you can realign those fragments precisely so you can get it exactly how you want it every single time. It took a while. It took us a couple of years to develop that, but it's been working great. We have it being used in hospitals across the country. We received FDA clearance, I think, during the COVID years. Again, it's hard to time. It's hard to tell, but I think it's during the tail end of the COVID years, we ended up getting FDA clearance on that product. And it's exciting to see that out there in the market right now.
What's been the feedback so far from doctors?
Yeah, it's great. Again, the early adoption has been nice to see that the hand surgeons jumped on it right away. They saw the utility of this and are using it. For the general orthopedic surgeons, we're, you know, working through with them because they don't operate on wrist fractures as frequently. So we're working with them to sort of highlight the benefits and how this can make their life easier in the operating room and then also better for the patients. But initial response has been excellent. It's been wonderful to see lots of people are using the blades in these fragments, and the x-rays afterwards have just been incredible. Just looking at that x-ray and seeing a nice, well-aligned wrist from a physician standpoint, that's very visually rewarding.
Yeah, I can see that. You had me thinking about The Founder of the movie, right? Like, I'm like, can you systematize this? Can you make it better? You're over and that's what you're doing. And the patient outcome for them, not early arthritis. I mean, that's a big deal. Like that's all these other things, especially you mentioned, okay, there's the specialists that are the, I think it's interesting what you just said that, you know, the hand surgeons, the people that work on this all the time are like early adopters and like they're in, and then maybe the general individuals that don't do quite as many, don't maybe understand or for whatever reason, aren't quite on it. But the early adopters being the people that work on that all day long, and that's what they do. That sounds promising. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big market. Wrist fractures are the number one fracture worldwide. So this is a very big market, and you know this will change standard of care. And hey, you know, listen, we designed this plate to be universally useful as well. So if you have a surgeon that doesn't want to use the technology, it'll still function just like their current plates will as well. So they don't have to have two different systems. They can use ours as the all-around workhorse, or they could use the leverage technology, the lever action plate. They can use that if they prefer, but that's up to them. And because of that, again, it makes this universally applicable. So, you know, you don't have that one surgeon that says, no, listen, I'm comfortable with my current technique. I don't want to learn anything new about this particular procedure. I'm fine. My outcomes are fine. Okay, so be it. You can still use this plate. You just don't have to use the technology that's optional within that system. So we thought about that, Adam. We thought about the adoption rate, and we thought about how we can make it universally applicable for every surgeon.
Yeah, smart. It's a win-win. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about how adoption is, you know, how that works when you're trying to disrupt or innovate in the medical field. How does somebody like scale? Like, how do you go from that idea to concept to scale? I'm guessing you have to raise money. I mean, there's a lot of steps that go into this. Like, how do you get this to market?
Yeah, well, we have this great book chapter coming up, Adam. I'm going to have have you read? And we talk about that. And that's part of the innovation. And you hit the nail on the head. The two components are financing and then how you carefully scale your sales. Because if you do it incorrectly, you know, it's like one step forward, two steps back in that situation. So you want the early adopters. You want those who are the thought leaders in the field. You want them to give their feedback. And then from there, you know, have them essentially be the preachers of the technology. Because if it works for them and their patients, they'll tell their colleagues, they'll tell their friends. And the word of mouth spread, you have instant credibility in that situation. Now, you also need boots on the ground, because when that happens, you have to have individuals that are able to go into the operating rooms, train the surgical staff, train the surgeons, and then just be available when questions come up. We're leveraging technology for that as well. You know, without going into too many details of what we're discussing in the book chapter, we actually have another innovative startup company that we're working with to help solve that problem, to make even that process more efficient, more effective for a small company like us. So there's technology and there's innovation everywhere. And, you know, I would encourage individuals that are coming out with new products and technologies to look and say, how can we do this better? How can we leverage these? You have the opportunity, right? You're a new company. You have the opportunity to do things differently for the better and not just say, this is how we've always done it. So why don't we just do that? Well, that may not work for you. And selling and raising funds, those are two big areas that we discuss in the book chapter and two big areas that we're currently working on to move our company forward.
And so we don't have to get too granular here, but what are some of the reasons that you decided to specifically to get into or to go, you know, for another raise? And how do you maybe some broad strokes on how you plan on deploying the capital?
Well, you know, the raise we're doing is innovating. We've always raised capital uniquely. So we do not have any, you know, venture capital funding for our company. We've always done it through individuals and individual private placement. And, you know, we're doing that right now. We're taking that a step forward using what's called a Regulation A+. We're under review right now from the regulatory body. So hopefully we'll have approval in the next few weeks and that round will be launched. But what this will do is essentially allow anyone to invest, really. There's a few financial criteria that have to be met based on income. But for the most part, what we applied for is a minimum investment of $100, and literally anyone can invest. It seems like we're publicly traded, but we're really not. So we're still a privately held company, but we're able to publicly solicit. And, you know, that has numerous benefits. For us, it opens the door of a whole new investor pool into our company. Secondly, you know, we take out the middleman. So the investor gets more benefit and the company gets more benefit from their investment. And now you have people across the entire country who are, you know, excited about your product. They're learning about your company. So sure enough, if anything, you know, God forbid anything happens to any one of our investors or their family members, they break a bone or anything like that, they're going to know what the latest technology is and they're going to ask their surgeon. And you can't get better marketing than that. So coming from the actual end customer or patient, having them say, you know, Dr. So-and-so, there's this IntelliSense drill. I'd really like you to use it. You know, there's this wrist plate. That's the way to go. So, you know, with this investment round, that's what we're innovating. And then with the round, as far as the funding, we have several products that are in our pipeline, 8 or 9 new different products that are in our pipeline. We're going to use it to develop those products, commercialize those products, and then expand our sales force and marketing presence so we can get the word out and get more people to learn about our products and know what we're doing.
And any particular reason why you chose to go, or, you know, some of your reasoning behind going this route versus the traditional like VC route or maybe some of the other traditional routes? Because I find it interesting I like it personally, just from the standpoint of you're kind of spreading that investor base, especially from the standpoint of the marketing side of people that invest actually potentially being potential clients, right? But what was kind of your reasoning behind one versus the other?
Well, you know, it makes sense. So we're essentially leveling the investment playing field. So it allows anyone to have the opportunity to gain wealth from our success. Whereas before, it'd just be a handful of individuals that had the right connections or a large sum of money. They may be the only ones that could benefit from us being successful. But by doing this, it opens the door literally to anyone. For us, it allows us to maintain management control. So as you know, when you get big venture funds coming in or private equity, they may change the personality of your company. They may change the direction of your company. They may say, let's just focus on this commercialized product. We're not going to do any more product commercialization. We're just going to focus on the one that's on the market. Mm-hmm. That essentially kills innovation within your own company. So by doing it this way, again, we have multiple benefits both to the investor and the company, but mostly it allows us the freedom to do what we're doing, you know, what's been successful for us and why people are investing because of that innovation, because of that product development. So, you know, we're excited about it. We'll see how it goes. We've been successful with these unique investment rounds in the past. And, you know, we're looking forward to pushing that needle again and innovating in a way that a lot of other companies haven't.
It's great. It's a great story. story. And I'm excited to continue to follow the journey, get this book out for you, of course, and have you back on the show so we can dive even deeper into the content. But for today, I'll just say, so what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for innovation on your plate?
Well, again, within the next, hopefully, 4 to 8 weeks, this investment round will be approved through the regulatory bodies. And then, you know, we have something we've never done before, and that's essentially marketing a semi-public investment round. So we're really excited about that. We've been working with our marketing team for months now, developing all the content materials. We're excited with the videos and the animations we've developed. And just getting that out there is going to be fun and just another step forward for us. The same thing on the sales side. You know, our team, we took a unique approach, and instead of having traditional sales representatives, we have product specialists that are more technically trained. And when they're in the operating room offering technical support as far as the product and how it works and how it can better care for how they can better care for their patients, that's been awesome as well. As well as leveraging technology. Again, we're using augmented reality to embed ourselves in operating rooms, working with other startup companies. So these are all the things that are happening just within the next 4 to 6 weeks. So
you're not that busy, normal day at the office here. That's awesome. Well, Dr. McGinley, it really has been a pleasure having you back on the show. If somebody wants to follow up and learn more and follow this journey, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so all of the information is going to be live on our website and social media pages. So you can follow us on social media at McGinley Orthopedics or our website, McGinleyOrthopedics.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, pretty much all the social media outlets. We have content, have material. We have a YouTube channel with videos from surgeons as well as animation. So I'd encourage people to take a look at that. But when the investment round goes live, you'll see that. So there'll be an Invest Now button on our page, on our social media platform. And we'll have a lot of content, a lot of information coming out. We're really excited. So hopefully by the next time we're chatting, that's live and we'll be able to discuss that in a little bit more detail.
That's awesome. And we'll put all the links to that into the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with our content, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their expertise, you know, why they do what they do, the mission behind it. In this case, with Dr. McGinley, how they're innovating, right? A lot of innovation going on over there. If that's the type of content that you like or sounds interesting or engaging to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Joe, really, it has been a pleasure again. I'm looking forward to the next time working with you.
It's been fun as always, Adam, and I can't wait for this book to come out and can't wait to chat again. Thanks for having me on.